Ever get that feel, you know, like when a teacher's giving you the side eye or your boss is about to lay down the law?
Oh, yeah.
Intense, right? But you're not in any real trouble, legally speaking.
Right.
That line, that's what we're looking at today. Oregon v. Mathiasson, a case all about Miranda rights and when they actually kick in.
It's interesting because at first glance, it seems super straightforward. But this case goes deep into what custody really means legally and how something that seems casual can have huge consequences for your rights.
So break it down for us. What happened in this case? Why did it end up at the Supreme Court?
Okay, so picture this. 1974. Carl Mathiasson, he's on parole, gets a note from a police officer just asking him to call.
Okay.
No big show, no sirens, nothing dramatic. He calls, agrees to meet at the station, goes there willingly.
Sounds pretty normal so far.
Totally.
Yeah.
And the officer even tells Mathiasson right there at the station, "You're not under arrest."
Oh,
But
gosh.
then the officer does something, well, it was legal back then, but ethically kind of iffy, lies straight up, tells Mathiasson his fingerprints were found at a burglary.
Whoa, that's some serious pressure. Did he call a lawyer?
Didn't even get the chance. Within minutes of hearing that lie, bam, he confesses. And then, get this, then the officer reads him his Miranda rights.
Wait, after? Isn't the whole point of those warnings to prevent that exact thing, to protect yourself from saying something incriminating?
You nailed it. That's the huge GE question this case brought up. Was Mathiasson in custody, like Miranda custody, even though he wasn't officially under arrest?
Yeah, I can see how the Oregon courts would be stuck on that. He went there on his own, but that fingerprint lie, that feels like a setup.
Exactly. And that's how this whole thing, a parolee, a burglary, ends up at the Supreme Court. What they decide in Oregon v. Mathiasson, well, it changes how we understand Miranda rights, period.
Okay, now I'm hooked. What do they decide?
The whole court actually agreed on this one. It's called a per curiam opinion, means they didn't write a whole essay explaining themselves. They focused on a few key things. Mathiasson went willingly. He was told he wasn't arrested, and he left freely afterwards.
So they're basically saying the fact that he could leave is the big deal.
Exactly. They drew a line. Just being at a police station doesn't automatically mean you're in Miranda custody.
So even if it feels intimidating, it's not enough. You had to actually be restricted.
Pretty much. But of course, this decision, it caused some debate. What about that pressure? What about feeling coerced, even if you're not technically arrested?
That's what I was thinking. Did they even think about the officer's lie? That seems super coercive, even if he wasn't physically held there.
They did address it, but they said it wasn't about custody for Miranda. The lie might be relevant to whether the confession was legit, like truly coerced, but it didn't change the fact that he wasn't technically detained.
So they separated the issue of a coerced confession, which could get thrown out in court, from whether Miranda even applied in the first place.
You got it. And that separation, that's a huge EE takeaway from Mathiasson. It set up how we look at these situations, concrete signs of restricted freedom, not just feeling pressure.
Physical restraint over psychological pressure, even if it feels unfair.
That's what the majority opinion boils down to. And they even compared Mathiasson to another case, Orozco v. Texas. That one, the guy's questioned in his own bedroom, 4 a.m., cops all around him.
Okay, yeah, that's a different vibe than chatting at a station.
Right. The court made it clear that situation was custody.
Okay, being woken up by a squad of cops is definitely not the same. But did everyone agree about Mathiasson?
Not everyone, no. Two justices, Marshall and Stevens, they dissented.
Even on the Supreme Court, some disagreement. What were they worried about?
Well, they agreed with the outcome for this particular case, but they weren't happy with that focus on physical restraint, like the bigger picture.
Makes sense. What was their reasoning?
Justice Marshall, he was concerned about how police interrogations work, especially when it's behind closed doors and there's, deception involved.
Right.
His argument was that even without being physically held, the pressure can be so much that you wouldn't feel free to leave no matter what they say.
Kind of like those work meetings where you can't just walk out, even though technically you could.
Perfect analogy.
Yeah.
Marshall felt like this ruling, even if it was technically correct in this case, could end up making Miranda rights weaker overall.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
What about Justice Stevens? Where was he coming from?
He had a different angle, but just as important. He zeroed in on the fact that Mathiasson was on parole.
Oh.
And Stevens argued because of that legal status, parolees are kind of always in custody, even when they're not literally locked up.
So he's saying Miranda should have applied no matter what, just because he was on parole.
Yep. But the majority on the court, they pushed back on that. They said being on parole doesn't mean every chat with a cop is custodial.
Okay.
It's got to be about the specific situation, not just someone's general legal label.
This is making me think, though. Where is that line? What if, say, Mathiasen hadn't been allowed to leave the room, even if they didn't officially arrest him?
That's a sharp question, and it gets right to the heart of what Mathiasen forces us to deal with, those blurry situations where you feel immense pressure, but there's no handcuffs or anything.
Right. It's not just the rules. It's how it actually feels, the power dynamics, the ways someone could be pushed into saying something.
Precisely. And Mathiasen set a precedent for looking at all that, like, let's say you're brought in for questioning, doors locked, they say you're not under arrest, but you can't actually walk out.
That'd feel like being trapped, even if they keep saying you're free to go.
For sure.
Yeah.
That kind of scenario would most likely be considered custody for Miranda, even if there's no formal arrest. The physical restriction is probably enough.
So it's about what's really happening, not just what they're saying. Makes sense, since Miranda's meant to protect us from self-incrimination, even if we haven't been officially booked.
Exactly. Mathiasen gave us a way to look at the whole picture. Court's got to look at everything, the environment, what's said, any barriers,
yeah,
to figure out if someone was really free to leave.
Wow. Makes you look at those cop shows differently. I'll be watching for those subtle custody signs now.
Yeah. And that's the thing about understanding cases like this. We can engage with the law more deeply and see how our rights are protected in practice.
But even with all these details, doesn't this give police a way to exploit things? Couldn't they just get sneakier with the pressure tactics, knowing that if someone's not physically held, Miranda might not apply?
That's exactly what Justice Stevens was concerned about. He saw a potential slippery slope where police could manipulate things, creating intense psychological pressure without technically crossing that custody line.
So did Mathiasen basically create a loophole for police to get confessions? Like undermining Miranda's protections?
That's something legal experts and courts have been arguing about ever since. It's a tension between effective police work and protecting people's rights.
This brings up way more questions than answers. I mean, Where do you draw that line between legitimate interrogation techniques and straight-up manipulation that could lead to a false confession?
The million-dollar question, right. And it goes way beyond legal stuff. It's about the psychology of coercion, the power dynamics, and ultimately what makes a justice system fair.
Deep stuff, for sure.
Hmm.
But that's what these deep dives are all about. Critical thinking on complicated issues. So for anyone just learning about Oregon v. Mathiasen, what's the big takeaway here?
If you're ever talking to law enforcement, especially if they're questioning you, knowing what custody really means is crucial. Even if you're not officially arrested, the environment, the officer, how it feels, all that contributes to whether you're legally in custody for Miranda.
So it's not just knowing your rights, it's being aware of the context, the power dynamics, any signs you're being pushed.
Right on. And never forget, you can stay silent, you can ask for a lawyer. Even if you're not in custody for Miranda, those rights are always there.
Good advice. But this case also shows sometimes even knowing your rights isn't enough. What if the police make it so you feel you have to confess, even if technically you're not in custody?
That's where the debate is still going strong. Those dissenting opinions in Mathiasen, they remind us to look beyond just physical restraint. The psychological impact matters too. And that conversation, it's still changing as we try to figure out how law enforcement works in a modern society.
This has been really insightful. We covered so much, but I feel like there's even more to discuss.
There always is. That's what makes law so interesting. It reflects our values, our struggles, how we try to be just, and it keeps changing.
So to wrap up, any final food for thought for our listeners?
Let's imagine the first interaction between Mathiasen and the officer went differently. What if the officer showed up at his door, demanding he come in for questioning?
Ooh, interesting.
How would that have changed things, legally speaking, when it comes to custody?
Wow, yeah. That makes you think about how power shifts, even in subtle ways, and how that very first moment with the police sets the tone for everything that comes after. Even in simple cases, there's so much depth, and fighting for justice means paying attention to those details.
Couldn't agree more. Understanding cases like Oregon v. Mathiasen, it gives us the tools to analyze those details and participate in this ongoing conversation about our rights and how law enforcement operates in a free society.
Yeah, it really makes you realize every little thing matters when we're talking about these basic rights. We've covered the majority opinion, the dissenting views. But what happened after Mathiasen? Like, how did it actually change things?
It's had a huge impact, honestly, even if it's not as famous as, say, Miranda itself. Mathiasen basically set the standard for how we figure out custody. Like, it's got to be based on facts, not just feelings.
No, not enough to just feel pressure. There has to be actual proof your freedom was taken away.
Exactly. And that's affected tons of cases since then. Now, lawyers got to really dig into the details of any interaction with the police. Where was it? How long did it last? What was said? Were there any physical barriers? All that stuff helps decide if someone was really in custody when they gave a statement.
I bet that makes things super tricky, especially when it's not so obvious.
Absolutely. And that's where the debate is still going on. Mathiasen left some big questions unanswered, like, what if someone's technically allowed to leave, but they're scared or tricked into staying?
Right, like the officer says, you're not under arrest, but it'd be great if you stuck around for a few more questions.
Yeah.
I mean, most people would feel like they gotta cooperate, even if they could walk away.
Exactly. And that's that murky area of psychological coercion. Mathiasen didn't really deal with that directly. That's why those dissenting opinions are so important. Marshall and Stevens, they warned that if we only care about physical restraint, we're opening the door for other kinds of pressure that are just as bad.
So Mathiasen made a clear rule, but it also started this ongoing argument about what custody really means in real life.
That's a great way to put it. It's become this key case when arguing whether a confession can be used in court. Defense attorneys try to say their client was basically in custody, even if they weren't officially arrested. And prosecutors will point to those objective facts, like how Mathiasen went to the station willingly.
This reminds me of something we talked about earlier, that difference between whether Miranda was required and whether a confession was, like, actually forced out of someone.
Right. Even if the court says someone wasn't technically in custody for Miranda, their confession can still be thrown out if it wasn't really voluntary.
So even if they didn't hear, you have the right to remain silent at the exact right moment, the confession itself could be unusable if there was too much pressure.
You got it. That's why knowing about Mathiasen is important, not just for lawyers, but for anyone who might have to deal with the police. It shows how important it is to stick up for your rights, even if you're not under arrest, and to recognize when you might be feeling pressured to say something you'll regret.
This whole deep dive has been a crash course in legal thinking. From a case about a parolee, we ended up talking about all these complicated parts of Miranda, custody, coercion, a lot to take in.
It really shows how one case can have a huge impact for years, influencing legal arguments and raising big questions about individual rights and effective law enforcement.
Well, I feel like I understand Miranda rights so much better now, thanks to Oregon v. Mathiasen. Definitely not as simple as they make it seem on TV.
And that's what's so cool about the law. It's full of these twists and turns, these gray areas that make us rethink what we thought we knew and really analyze things.
Huge thanks to our listeners for joining us on this deep dive into the fascinating world of legal precedent. We hope you enjoyed exploring the complexities of Oregon v. Mathiasen and how it changed the way we see Miranda rights.
Until next time, stay curious and keep those legal minds sharp.